In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Well, it's a pleasure to be back at Trinity. I'll tell you more about my history here a little bit later. But this morning, I want to share with you a sermon that's adapted from one by the Reverend King Duncan. One of the things that I do when it's time to preach is I read hundreds of sermons because there's so many great ideas out there. So I decided to adapt this one for our service today. Now, Reverend Duncan begins with this story. A 5-year-old boy was stalling to go to bed. He asked for a glass of juice. "No, sir," his father answered. "No more juice. Go to bed." "I am the king of the juice in this house." "That's not right, Dad." "That's what the young man said. Our Sunday school teacher said, Jesus is king of the juice." So we have to be really careful what our young people hear in Sunday school. And I remember teaching Sunday school here. I have no idea what those kids were saying after they left. But anyway, Pilate summons Jesus to his palace and asks him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Not king of the juice, but "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus doesn't answer the question directly. How could he? The title King of the Jews hardly sums up his mission, his full mission. But finally, he does concede and says, yes, he is a king. That is why he came into the world. That is why he was born. But his kingdom is greater than King of the Jews. He reigns over all. In the Episcopal Church and other denominations, today is known as Christ the King Sunday. And in many churches like here at Trinity, the day is known as the Reign of Christ. You'll notice that on the front of your service bulletin. The Reign of Christ better describes the breadth and depth of the earthly and spiritual mission of Christ. But how did this start? Just to give you a little bit of church history. In 1925, Pope Pius XI wanted people to know that this is Christ's world, not the world of the emerging dictators of the day. At the time, Mussolini had been in power for 3 years. Adolf Hitler had been out of jail for only 1 year and was finding great popular support from his fledgling Nazi party. The Pope had the audacity to declare that despite dictators, that Christ was king, reminding his Christian flock where their ultimate loyalty should lay. I wish more of them had heard it then, and I wish more would hear it now. Reverend Duncan suggests that we begin with this radical idea. Our first allegiance is to Christ. That should not be a radical idea, but in today's world, it appears to be. Our first allegiance is to Christ. Not our political party, not to the opinions of our family, friends, and neighbors, not even sometimes to our nation, but to Christ. Now, this is risky to say from the pulpit in 2024. Where we are discouraged many times from preaching politics from the pulpit. But if Pilate is asking Jesus, "Are you a king?" is that not politics? But there are some people today who confuse their political views with their allegiance to Christ, and they are not bashful about branding those who disagree with them as enemies of the gospel. So we must be careful when we are replacing our baptismal covenant with our political views. We may one day discover that we are on the opposite side of Christ. Now, as Pope Pontius XI sought to remind his flock that despite earthly kings like Pilate, politicians, dictators, and dictator wannabes, Christ is king. reminding us as Christians where our ultimate loyalty should lay. Our promise is from God. Our promises are not from our politicians. Our first allegiance is to Christ and his kingdom. Now, how do we demonstrate this allegiance? It is done through the quality of our lives. But it is interesting to see how we as Christians publicize our allegiance to Christ. Some do it with bumper stickers. Some do it, like me, wearing a cross. Some do it wearing a collar. So there are many ways that we publicize our allegiance to Christ. But I must tell you this interesting story. In a church in Ohio, my home state, they publicized their allegiance to Christ in this small little town in Monroe, Ohio. They publicized their allegiance to Christ with a large 62-foot statue of Jesus with his arms raised, standing in the middle of a cornfield off of Interstate 75. Now, people dubbed this Jesus as Super Savior. You think that's funny? Wait to this one. So, here his arms raised up. But the other neighbors called this Touchdown Jesus. Touchdown. Just like when the Texans maybe make a touchdown or a field goal. Touchdown Jesus. So here's what's interesting. It is reported that the traffic fatalities on that stretch of the highway dropped dramatically since Super Savior was raised. Is it pure coincidence that the styrofoam fiberglass Jesus really aided in road safety? Nobody really knows. But I suggest it was because people were so interested in looking at Touchdown Jesus that they slowed down, thereby reducing the traffic accidents. Now, certainly giant statues of Christ with upstretched arms do no harm. But do not be confused. This is not the best way to express our allegiance to Christ. The best way to express our allegiance to Christ is to make our lives worthy of being called Christians, worthy of being followers, worthy of being a disciple for Christ the King. Our primary allegiance is to Christ. We demonstrate that allegiance by how we live. We demonstrate that allegiance by how we give. But here's the most important piece of the information that we need on Reign of Christ Sunday. Christ demonstrated his allegiance to us by his life, by his death, and by his resurrection. He did it for you, and he did it for me. The gospel reading from John's account of Jesus' trial before Pilate highlights Pilate's major concern of the kingly status of Jesus. Are you a king? However, a beaten, scorned Jesus hardly seems kingly in the eyes of Pilate's understanding of king. Jesus had been flogged, dressed in a purple robe, put a crown of thorns on his head, and mocked by soldiers and called, "Hail, King of the Jews." Although he seems utterly powerless, he stands before Pilate. Jesus is the only one who knows the true power and that the true power and where that comes from. When Pilate asked if Jesus was the king, Jesus eventually replies that his kingdom is not from here. Now, this is way above Pilate's head because his only context for kingship was political, earthly and political, nothing spiritual. Thus he again asked Jesus, "So you are a king?" Jesus then replies that he has come into the world to reign, to bring a reign of truth. And those to whom truth is meaningful will give heed to his word. In him the world can see the nature of God most fully. Jesus exemplifies the character of true kingship. defies worldly assumptions about power and authority. Pilate, who thinks he has power, in fact has little. He puts Jesus to death, or condemns him to death, only to have Jesus overcome that by his resurrection. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. His kingdom would create a new community of believers that would hear and obey his voice. Jesus rules through grace and love in a realm of spirit in the life of justice and peace and that shines for all of us. This was the saving truth that was being offered to the whole world in our crucified Lord and in the essential meaning of our proclaiming the reign of Christ our King. So no wonder we celebrate the reign of Christ. We owe him our allegiance. We demonstrate that allegiance by how we live and by how we give. We love him because he loved us first. He demonstrated that love through his life, his death, and resurrection. So let us be thankful and reign in this life through Jesus Christ by receiving and accepting two things: the abundance of his grace and the gift of his righteousness, so that we can continue to give and to live. Amen. Amen. Amen.